Hi, this is ETF.com's Exchange Traded Fridays podcast, a weekly podcast covering developments in the ETF industry. My name is Sumeet Roy, and I'm senior analyst for ETF.com.
And I'm Lucy Brewster, and I'm a finance reporter here at ETF.com.
This week, we're talking with Brandon Rychowski, Director of Product Management at VanEck. Brandon, great to have you on the show.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Brandon, I wanted to have you on the podcast because you recently launched a pair of new ETFs that focus on moats, and they complement what is your super successful wide moat ETF, ticker symbol MOAT. But before we get into those new funds, can you give the people listening a quick rundown of the original ETF MOAT? What does it do? And what even are moats?
Of course. We have been talking about our moat ETF quite a bit as of late, but it has existed for quite a while. I mean, in the ETF landscape, a unique ETF like this is relatively new in terms of going beyond beta, those first generation index-based ETFs. And this moat ETF has been around. We launched it since 2012, so over 10 years of track record associated with this ETF. And really what this strategy boils down to is identifying high quality companies, those with economic moats, but also those that are trading at attractive valuations. So it's this two-pronged selection process that has been boiled down into a very systematic, rules-based index strategy. And it all leverages Morningstar, particularly Morningstar's equity research team. They have over 100 equity research analysts that are covering more than 1,600 companies globally. And they implement one consistent equity research process across their coverage universe. And that is trying to identify companies that have established a competitive advantage or an economic moat. So it's identifying those really well-run companies, highly desirable companies that have built essentially a fortress around their economic model. And this should, in Morningstar's view, allow these companies to maintain their competitive advantage and profitability far into the future. So it's isolating those great companies, but also allocating to those great wide moat companies that are trading at attractive prices. So something in the market has dislodged their current market price from what Morningstar believes that those companies are worth today. Because most investors want to own these great companies. They're very well run, they're established, they have these economic moats. So it's hard to find those kind of diamonds in the rough because they tend to trade at pretty lofty valuations. So that's been the driver of the success of our flagship ETF, MOAT, is leveraging Morningstar's forward-looking equity research to assemble a portfolio of very attractively priced, high-quality wide moat companies.
Yeah, thanks for that context. And obviously, investors have been drawn to the flagship MOAT, but I'm interested in what differentiates these new funds. And could you talk a little bit about the Morningstar Wide Moat Value ETF? MVAL is the ticker. How does this ETF work? What kind of stocks are in the portfolio? And how is this an expansion of the original moat concept?
Yeah, of course. So as I mentioned, the much of the success of our flagship moat ETF and much of its appeal to investors has been the focus of the strategy on valuation. So finding those opportunities in the marketplace within these companies that are well positioned to recover from maybe short-term headwinds, find them at attractive prices, and allocate to them until they, the market realizes the mispricing and then find the next opportunity. That's really the name of the game with this strategy. But with that comes a portfolio that is highly dynamic. There are very loose guardrails, if you will, associated with the moat strategy. So there can be, very differing sector exposure from quarter to quarter, year to year. Size exposure, it's generally a large cap ETF, but it can kind of tilt a little bit more to mid cap at certain times during the market cycle. And then ultimately, the style exposure, which we're talking about today, can vary significantly. For example, as 2022 unfolded, if everyone recalls, there was a pretty big correction in the market, particularly with growth stocks, which had been leading value stocks for years while inflation became a thing and the Fed had to act accordingly. And that really punished growth stocks in 2022. So this strategy identified attractively priced growth stocks because of their sell-off in the market, and the moat ETF established a bit of a growth bias, slight one, but a little bit of a tilt toward growth. And then as the market recovered, these names in the growth side of the market began to reach their fair value, if you will, and more opportunities became available in the value side of the market through 2023. So we saw a pretty significant shift from 2022 to 2023 in our flagship mode ETF. So a volatile is not the right word, a dynamic style exposure exists within our flagship ETF. And we've gotten a lot of feedback from our clients, investors of all types, retail, financial advisor, RIA clients that love this mode investing philosophy. But they're looking for more consistent style exposure from their investment vehicle. And that's where this idea came from, ultimately, was to launch a value and growth version of this proven investment strategy. So that's what you can expect from these ETFs. You asked specifically about MVAL, our VanEck Morningstar Wide Moat Value ETF. And these indexes were essentially constructed as you would expect to provide consistent large cap blend or value exposure depending on the target style exposure of each strategy. So you're going to see those types of companies in the portfolio. Now, the big difference between these two style-focused strategies is you're going to see a portfolio of only wide moat companies to be included in the portfolio. And as a result, it's a narrow basket to choose from. It's an exclusive group of companies in the United States that receive this wide moat rating from Morningstar. So you're going to see, I think, very differentiated exposure relative to what many investors might be accustomed to from the large beta indexes that tend to cover the value and growth spectrum. So we're expecting, somewhere between 35 and 45 stocks in either one of these ETFs at any given time. We will probably see, some dynamic sector exposure that's driven from the valuation focus of these strategies. So we might see, tech come in and out of favor within growth, for example, or cyclicals, coming in and out of favor within the value strategy. So that would be a big point, is that they're differentiated. And I think that's a good thing because, as investors are probably, seeing, and particularly over the last several years, no matter what strategy, whether it's an ETF or a mutual fund or whatever vehicle that investors are looking at, they're getting a lot of the same thing in all of these strategies. And that tends to be these big tech names. Some call them the Magnificent Seven. You can't escape these types of exposures. But by structural construction methodology, as well as this focus on valuation, you're going to see, an underweight to those types of names in the growth strategy, where the value strategy, you might see, some unique names within the financial sector relative to typical value strategies out there. So I think it's going to be a really interesting thing to follow is the exposure of these two ETFs over time.
Yeah, that is interesting. Can you tell us, Brandon, what some of the top holdings are in these two ETFs, MVAL and MGRO? And are they similar to some of the top holdings in the flagship, or are they different?
Yeah, that's right. So what's interesting and unique about these two ETFs is that in order to target these style exposures, the two style indexes, use a tilting mechanism. The moat ETF, the flagship ETF, simply equally weights the selected companies each quarter. So it's very much an equally weighted methodology, which is essentially assigning equal prominence to the holdings across the board, allowing each of these undervalued companies, equal prominence to perform for the portfolio. These value and growth portfolios will tilt the exposure toward the style that they're targeting to ensure that these strategies are receiving ample style exposure. So, on the value side, MVAL, for example, you're going to see some of the names that you would be accustomed to seeing in a value portfolio, and they'll receive higher weighting than those companies that exhibit slightly less value bias style scores. So companies like Raytheon Corp, RTX, Matco Corp, International Flavors and Fragrances, and then some financials exposure like Charles Schwab, US Bank Corp, and then the list goes on and on. But what's interesting about some of the top holdings and some of the names that I've read off is that these are companies that may have seen some price pressure on their stock price historically, or I'm sorry, in the recent past. So some of these names that may be going through kind of short-term headwinds, and their valuations will become attractive in the eyes of Morningstar's equity research analysts. So they'll find their way into the portfolio, and the more value style exposure they represent, the more weighting they will be assigned within the portfolio. Now, on the growth side of the equation, and I'll touch again on the fact that you're not going to see some of the names that you would typically see at the very top of many of the beta growth index-based products that are in the market. So, you're not going to see Apple Meta and Alphabet and a whole bunch of the other companies that tend to be basically the top five holdings of any given growth index at present. We've got a really unique differentiated exposure at the top of our MGRO ETF at present. Companies that are a little lesser known, like Fortinet and Veeva Systems, and then you see companies that you might expect to see, like Amazon, of course, and Salesforce.com. Some companies that are a little lesser known on the growth side, like Equifax or Autodesk, some of these companies that just operate in very different areas of the market than big tech, which tends to dominate some of the growth portfolios.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious too, who you sort of see as the target investor for a fund like this, whether retail or institutional, and whether it's different for these two funds in the original.
Yeah, so our flagship ETF, MOAT, Moat, has raised a lot of investment from really every corner of the market, and a lot of the feedback we get from, particularly on the financial advisor side, or the RIA channel, if you will, is that it can be a little difficult for this flagship blend. Large blend exposure. It's difficult for them to kind of model out what they can expect from Moat over time because, like as I mentioned, the style and sector exposure can be very dynamic. So there are a large number of advisors in the market that just they allocate to very low cost beta for their large cap blend exposure. Think S&P 500. Very cheap index-based product, and that makes a whole lot of sense for a whole lot of people. But they do like to make a call on styles over time. Growth versus value has just for a very long time been a key allocation decision for many advisors and investors. And we think that these two strategies can be a very well thought out, smart approach to dialing up or down value and growth exposure, and we've gotten a lot of feedback from our existing clients that would like to see that and allow them to kind of dial up and dial down that exposure. But again, I feel a bit like a bit of a broken record, but they can do so with these strategies without essentially just adding more of the same exposures to their portfolio that they already have, because they are getting this very differentiated exposure to unique companies in a concentrated way, a very high conviction way.
Brandon, I'm curious whether you think this whole concept of moats can be extended to any other subset of the stock market, whether it be other, styles, factors, individual sectors. What do you think? Do you think it could work for other type of stocks as well?
You know what? The Morningstar's done a ton of research on this, and this is essentially their bread and butter. This fuels a lot of what they've accomplished on their equity research side. I think a lot of folks in the market just aren't quite familiar with how impressive Morningstar's equity research division is. A lot of listeners probably are more familiar with Morningstar ETF and fund ratings and rankings and the data side of their business. But equity research really is a extremely high caliber institutional quality equity research team. In fact, it's by many accounts the largest independent equity research team at Morningstar. So they've got a great data set, a robust data set. And the index team at Morningstar that's assembled these rules-based index strategies leveraging this data, they've looked at a lot of different areas of the market. And at VanEck, we like to look at their different applications and where it makes sense and where we see demand from our clients bring these strategies to market. So we've expanded from our flagship Moat ETF to launch an international version, so essentially ex-US under the ticker MOTI. We've got a global version for those investors that like to kind of package up both their US and then international developed and emerging market into one strategy. We've also recently, in the last 2 years, launched a mid-cap US version of this strategy. So I think it works very well in different applications. Morningstar had looked at sectors, and they've looked at a few other more targeted and isolated areas of the market. And to date, we haven't partnered with Morningstar to bring ETF vehicles out on some of those exposures, but they do work. It's really fascinating. It's just, you look at some of the indexes that they've designed and they've had in the market for a little while now. They can look at the tech sector or obviously now moving into the style exposures, and not at all times, but over long periods of times, this combination of targeting, moat rated companies at attractive valuations has worked in many different applications.
Gotcha. So, Brandon, how long has the Morningstar index tied to growth and value been out? Have these been out for a while, or are they something new?
They're fairly new, but they've got some live track record to them. They were launched in November of 2022, so we're looking at over 1 year of live real-time performance. And then, of course, any index provider will apply their rule set historically and back test an index. And we always caution investors to be very very skeptical of back tests, because it's being applied retroactively and not in real time. But what's unique about this strategy is that it is applying rules that leverage data points that were produced in real time historically. And Morningstar's equity research team has been doing moat research and valuation research since as early as I think 2002. So Morningstar then further back tested these strategies all the way back to 2007, which is when the flagship Moat ETF, the underlying index, went live. So it's really fascinating, because we live in a world where we've got multi-factor strategies, and basically the next big thing is indexed and back tested, and most back tests look really good, and who knows where it will go from there. But we've got a year plus of live index track record for these two indexes, plus a flagship index that Morningstar launched in February of 2007 that's essentially implementing the same methodology without a style focus. So there's a lot to hang their hat on over at Morningstar when it comes to looking at these strategies historically.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned this moat research is a real specialty of theirs. Is there any other variation of a moat ETF that you would want to roll out with them, or do you see that happening in the future?
It's if you were to have asked me 5 years ago if there would have been an appetite for for a value and a growth ETF. I don't know if there would have been, and what's been really impressive and rewarding to see is just the reception we've had around that flagship ETF. And a lot of our ideas have come from our clients and investors. And you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier the SMID cap focused MOAT ETF. SMOT is the ticker on that one. That was a direct result in client feedback. They loved using MOAT, but it fell in that large cap blend style box, and they wanted some mid and SMID cap exposure because the cycle we were the point and the point that we were in the economic cycle, they wanted to start to allocate to that SMID cap space. So the ideas have frankly come from the those that have bought into the strategy, and we're always open to new ideas from our clients. So I could see more opportunities, but you know, we're really excited about our launches now. We want to make sure that we support those in the right way. So nothing in the immediate term, but we're always open to new ideas with this mode strategy.
Well, awesome. Brandon, we're gonna have to leave it there. You gave us a ton of great insight. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find this and all other Exchange Traded Fridays episodes on ETF.com or on any major podcast platform. See you next week.